Lesson today is a continuation of last week's lesson about the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. We left off speaking to you about Martha, how that she had went to Christ, and how that she likewise was instructed by Christ and received many comforting words from Christ, how that likewise she gave a wonderful confession to him when he questioned her, "Dost thou believe this?" Then she gave that statement and said, "I believe, Lord, that thou art the Son of God who should come into this world." And after she had said this, she left and went to the house and told Mary and spoke to her secretly, saying unto her, "The Master calleth thee." Mary had remained in the house. Many of the Jews had come from the city of Jerusalem to comfort these two sisters in the loss of their brother. And these Jews, they likewise hated Christ. They were not friends of Christ. And when Martha came, she spoke to her sister secretly, telling her that Jesus had come and that he called for her. And when she heard this, she immediately arose and left these Jewish comforters and went to Jesus, this precious Jesus. She had been struggling in her mind concerning why he had not come. Her and her sister had said, "Surely, if he had been here, our brother would have never died." They had spoken together this way, and now he had not come. But now when she heard that he did come, then her love for Jesus flew into exercise, and she immediately ran to him. And when she went, the Jews that were in the house that had been there to comfort her, they said, "Surely she's going to the grave to weep." But she did not go to the grave, she went to Christ. And when she came to the place where Christ was, she fell upon her knees before him and said unto him the very same words that Martha had said, "If thou hadst been there, Lord, our brother would not have died." Now she fell at his feet as a mourner, as a petitioner. She was in great mourning for the loss of her brother. And likewise, she fell down petitioning him, saying the very same thing that Martha had said. And this woman, Mary, had been accustomed to sit at the feet of Jesus. Not only has she been accustomed to do this, but in secret, many times, she was on her knees praying to Jesus. And now when she came there, she openly and publicly fell down before him. What a blessed attitude, my dear hearers, to be at the feet of Jesus. Oh, I wonder if my Bible class has this custom to fall down in secret at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what a mercy to be given to do this, my hearers. This woman, as she fell down crying and weeping, and the Jews who had followed her, they likewise were weeping with her. It is customary for those who lose relatives, who lose friends by the death, to have them likewise weep with those that have suffered this loss. The Bible teaches us this. Christianity teaches us this, that we are to weep with those that weep and to sorrow with those that are in sorrow. What a mercy, my hearers. If we have any relatives and we have any sincere friends and we lose them, we surely will sorrow with them. Tears in this respect is no sin. The Bible teaches us this. And now we find these Jews weeping and we find Mary weeping. And when Jesus saw these people all weeping, then the Bible says, and Jesus wept. The only place in the Bible where you read that. Jesus wept. In this we see that he was God and man. that he was just like you and I, that he was subject to the passions, which we all are. And he likewise wept because these sisters had lost their brother. He is afflicted in all their afflictions. And here we find him also weeping. This teaches us, too, that Christ was man as well as God. We never read in the Bible that Jesus laughed. We do read that he was glad. We do read that he rejoiced. But we never read that he laughed. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Oh, I wonder if you are anything like Jesus. Have you ever wept, my dear hearers? You would say, what for? Or have you ever wept for your sins? Have you ever fell at the feet of Jesus, confessing what a sinner you are, and needing him to save you, needing him to cleanse you? Oh, what a blessing if you have been found there, my dear hearers. I wish every one of you were found there. And this Mary was laying at the feet of Christ, and these Jews weeping, and this also affected Christ. Although he could control himself perfectly because he was God, still he wept. And then we find that some of these Jews that had come with Mary, they began to speak with each other and say, behold how he loved him. Because Jesus was weeping, they thought that it was because Lazarus had died and that he was weeping as they were. These Jews, they said, could not this man who had opened the eyes of the blind, could not he have seen to it that this man Lazarus did not die? But they then had some information concerning the miracles that Jesus had performed, especially this miracle, that he had opened the eyes of one born blind. And now they thought in themselves, surely, if he could do something like that, well, he could have prohibited this man Lazarus from dying. They had no insight that he was Christ, that he was God. They had no faith to believe that he was able even to raise him up from the dead. They likewise, if they had it, would have pleaded with him because they were friends of Lazarus. But Jesus, weeping with these people, he groaned in the spirit, it says. When he groaned in the spirit, we may believe that he already was pleading inside with his Father, for he knew what he was going to do. And therefore, he groaned. He was troubled in spirit. And he said unto them, where have ye laid him? He knew where he was laying. He was God. But he put this question to them so that the Jews that had come up with Mary would not have any suspicion that he had done something before this to Lazarus, that it was a trick that he was going to perform. For had he immediately walked to the grave without asking, and had done this, there would have come a suspicion in their minds that surely there's something wrong here. But he asked where they had laid him. They didn't say, well, here or there. They said, come, Lord, and see. And now as Jesus went to the grave, he was weeping as a mourner is for the loss of Lazarus. And when he came by the grave, then we find that he stood and he looked up unto heaven. And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know thou hearest me always, but for the people that are standing round about, therefore I have said it. We have here then Jesus giving us an example. He lifted up his eyes unto heaven. And in this respect, he was praying. He thanked his Father already that he had heard him. It doesn't say what he had been praying, but he had been praying inwardly, probably, and therefore he thanked his Father that he had heard him, and thanked him that he heard him always. We find in the Psalms that the psalmist in Psalm 123, he says, I will look unto the heavens, from whence comest all my help. What a blessing to have an attitude of lifting up our eyes unto heaven, from whence only cometh our help. This is what Jesus did. He lifted up his eyes unto heaven, proving unto the Jews standing round about him that it was from heaven that this power was going to come, and that he was going to raise up Lazarus. This blessing, my dear hearers, of looking up in times of need, in times of trouble, in times of sorrow. Who can explain what a comfort it is to have a God to go to and to look up unto him? Oh, I hope that every one of you may have this in your hearts, that you may be given likewise to look up unto him. Jesus sets us an example in prayer. And now Jesus, he spake unto Martha, it seems, that she should give command to remove the stone from the grave. Remove the stone, he says, from the grave. And immediately Martha speaks unto him and protests and objects to this. And she says to him, Lord, she says, he stinketh already, for he hath been dead 4 days. She thought if they took the stone away, the odor that would come out of the grave would be so awful that it would be obnoxious to him. And she thought, he's been dead 4 days already. There isn't anything you can do about it. She didn't have any faith in exercise to believe that Jesus would raise him from the grave. She said, he stinketh already. True, in the times in which we live in, and in the area we live in, they can keep dead bodies quite long, especially with the things that they use and which they fill them with. But at those times, they had no such means, it seems. And when they laid a body in the grave, it was usually 72 hours, and then it started to turn to corruption. And so Martha said, he stinketh already. Oh, my dear hearers, we have here in this, what I am trying to explain, something that takes place in the world probably many times during the day. We have Jesus, we have these Jews, we have the two sisters standing around the grave, all weeping. What a veil of tears this place is, this world. What a place of sorrow it is. How much of this is going on in this world because of sin? And now we have likewise this man Lazarus. He was lying in the grave 4 days, and as Martha said, he stinketh already. Oh, my dear hearers, this proves to us what sin has accomplished upon mankind. All true, this man had actually died. But every one of us by nature, being born in sin, living in sin, continuing in sin, oh, what must there be a stench? He stinketh already. What a stench we must be in the nostrils of this holy and this righteous God. Oh, my hearers, have you ever felt yourself to be that? Has God instructed you by his blessed Spirit and given you to see something of what you are in His holy sight? Have you ever been given to cry out, as Paul cries out in Romans 7, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" This body of death you and I have is a stench unto God. And how many years have we been lying in this grave of sin? Lazarus, 4 days. Some of us, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, maybe even 90 years, we've been lying in this grave of sin. Awful, my hearers, terrible it is, that this is our case, and it is so true. She said he stinketh already, but she was given to hear from Jesus' lips, "Did I not say unto thee that if thou believest, thou shalt see the glory of God?" It does not say when he said this to her. We do not read that. In all probabilities, he spake this to her when she gave such a wonderful confession of who she believed that he was, that he was the Son of God sent into this world. Then he probably spoke unto her on the top of her face that she would see something of the glory of God. And now he speaks this to her to remind her of what he had said unto her. Ah, my dear hearers, we need Jesus to remind us. If he has ever said anything to any one of you, how forgetful we are, how unmindful we are of what he has spoken to us, and how needful it is for him to remind us of then and then he has spoken to us. And it's a gracious wonder when he remembers us and gives us to remember the words that he has spoken to us. So Martha was here instructed again in what Jesus had said unto her, that if she believed, she would see the glory of God. What a mercy. If we, by the Spirit, are given in our inner chamber, given in the house of worship, to be reminded of something that the Lord Jesus done for us in our past life, and we are brought back again, and we are given to believe it again, then we see something of the glory of God in what Jesus has spoken to us beforehand. And so Jesus spake that they should remove the stone from the mouth of the grave. This grave was similar to the grave that Jesus was going to be buried in. When he died, they likewise laid him in a cave, and they likewise rolled the stone before the door of this grave. So here, he requested that this stone be removed to make way for Lazarus to come out of the grave. Oh, my dear hearers, if this grave and this stone before it is a type of me and you. We are lying in this grave of sin, and we'll lie in it till we die if Jesus does not bring us out of it. And there are so many stones in the way before Jesus makes place for his word in our hearts. There is one great stone that every one of us has, and that is unbelief. We are born in it, we live in it, we continue in it, until Jesus takes away this stone, removes it by his almighty power, and gives us faith to believe, even if it be that we are one of the chiefest of sinners, that there's no one as worse and as bad as we are. This is already faith, believing what the Word of God teaches us and what we find in ourselves. Oh, there is likewise the stone of ignorance. We are so ignorant of God and of His ways, so ignorant of His power, of His majesty, of His glory, of his wisdom and of his mercy and of his pity and of his grace. We need to be instructed by God himself. We need to have Jesus take away this stone of ignorance which is lying upon us at all times. Oh, there is also a stone of prejudice. We don't want to have Jesus reign over us. We care not about his ways. We are prejudiced against his religion, against the way that he leads his people, prejudiced against him choosing one and not the other. These things have to be removed. It's such a stone in the way. And they are removed when he comes into our hearts. There is also this stony heart that every one of us have. What a stone our hearts are by nature. Nothing can humble them. Nothing can break them. It is only God that can break our rocky and stony hearts to pieces. And he has promised to remove the stony heart and to give us a heart of flesh. And this is the operation that he performs in our hearts when he enters in by his word, by his spirit. He takes away the stony heart. Have you ever any trouble with your hearts? Are you satisfied with your hearts? You think you have a good heart? Oh, you're entirely wrong, my dear hearers. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked more than anything. Our hearts will never bow before God until he bows them. He then must remove this stony heart. Oh, what a blessing when this takes place in our life. This makes way for the word of God. It makes way for what Jesus was going to do to Lazarus. He wanted this stone removed, and those that would remove it, they would see the body laying there. They would be witnesses that it really was a dead body, that it was Lazarus, that it was no fake, that it was true. And then Martha gave permission that they take the stone away, laying it in his hands and thinking, well, thou art God, I'll leave it to thee. Whatever thou doest is good. So then they took the stone away. And then they all got near to the grave, to the opening. All the spectators stood around there. And Jesus, he spake with a very loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately he that was dead came forth out of the grave, bound with grave clothes, with a napkin around his head. Immediately at the word of Christ, Lazarus arose from the dead and came forth out of the grave. Can you picture that? Suppose you and I were standing around that grave. Don't you think we'd be frightened? Don't you think we'd be afraid? Don't you think probably we'd run away? Something like that coming up out of the grave. These spectators, they've seen this. What a wonder this was. It never had taken place yet that anybody had lain 4 days in the grave. Jesus had raised some from the dead. He had raised the daughter of Jairus from being dead. He had went to her home. She was lying on the bed. He raised up the young man from Nain. But 4 days in the grave, a body already turning into corruption, he called it forth, and immediately life came into the body. The soul returned into the body, and it came out of the grave. A wonder, my dear hearers. I wonder how many people that are listening to me have any such questions in their minds. When Lazarus came forth out of the grave, where was his soul when he was in the grave? Was it, as the Jews thought, hovering around the grave? We may sincerely believe that his soul was in paradise. When a person dies, the soul goes back to God. And so the soul of Lazarus was in paradise. You may say, well, isn't that a very unkind thing of God to do? to bring that soul out of paradise and put it back into the prison of the body? No, my dear hearers. We read of the Apostle Paul that he had such a desire to be with Christ, which would be far better. And he had been lifted up into the heavens above and had seen things which no human being had ever seen. And he had been brought back again by the Spirit into the flesh. It was a wonder for Paul to be lifted up in this manner. And so it was a wonder for this man, Lazarus, to find that his soul had been in paradise. And it was to the honor and to the glory of Christ that he was brought back, that his soul re-entered his body, and that he likewise immediately came forth out of the grave. Do you think, probably, in your mind, that some people might have questioned Lazarus and said unto him, how was it there? Do you remember what you saw there? What was it like? We are very curious. We are very inquisitive, especially concerning these matters. You don't read of anyone who Christ had raised from the dead that ever they said anything about what had been while they were dead. Not do you read anything of this, nothing. We shouldn't try to be any wiser than the Scripture teaches us. But these thoughts do penetrate into our minds. That Jesus spake with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. It's very typical, my dear hearers, of the gospel call. It was necessary for Jesus to speak with a loud voice, for his soul was in paradise, and his body was laying in the grave, dead. But with this word, immediately, the soul came back, and life came into his body. He did not say unto him, live. He did not speak him back in this way to life. He just commanded him to come forth. And as he was commanded, he came forth. Christ, likewise, by his gospel, does the very same thing. He calls unto sinners to come out of the grave of sin. This call comes to you, my dear hearers. Every time you hear the gospel preached, you are called to forsake your sinful ways and to return unto God, who is a God of mercy and of grace, and not willing that any should perish, but that they all should come to the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. This gospel call is yet coming to you. It's coming to your ears. I cannot bring it into your hearts. But it is God that can do that. And when this takes place, it will be with you as it was with Lazarus. Lazarus came forth, and you must come out. You must come out of this grave of sin. You cannot remain in it any longer. You are inspired by the Spirit, and you are given to see what it will be to remain in your sins, what a punishment awaits you, and all you fear that this punishment will be brought upon you. But by the grace